And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 22nd, 2024, Season 18, Episode 22. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome in to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net to get all the links so you can get in touch with us. Whether it be by phone, by email, which you can do by sending us an email, everyone at ingamechat.net. Send it to that one. Me and RJ both will get it, which is the only email address I think that we have out there. Send us email. Twitter at ingamechat, Facebook ingamechat, email us, like I said. Streaming right now on Twitch, go to twitch.tv, type in ingamechat in the search bar. And you will find us, and you can watch the show live while we broadcast. What else? You can also join us on Discord, which we've got running as well. I rarely see James active, but there he is on Discord. I don't know what he's doing. Can I see? Can I click? Will it say what he's doing? He may not have it linked up. Does not say. Anyway. There we go. All right, welcome in. RJ,
yes.
What'd you play, RJ?
Well, had some more fun with Virtual Fighter 5. Was playing the Kai Leagues last night, spur of the moment decision. Only had five show up, but we all had a good time. Had three league matches, came in third in two of them, got last in the last one. I wasn't doing too well in that last one, but it was a good learning experience going through that, so it was all good overall.
Yeah.
Some more baseball with MLB The Show, 23. Still playing that instead of going up to the MLB 24. Haven't had any real reason to go into that one. Just still having fun with what I got now. Probably when it drops down to a lower price, I'll probably pick that up
easily,
later on.
Yeah.
Because it's a sport title, and the sport titles, the price drops tremendously fast.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays.
And there's rarely, I mean, there's incremental improvements,
mm-hmm.
but it's almost like buying a cell phone. Yeah. It's like you buy one and then you don't upgrade the next year. I mean, some people probably do, but mm-hmm. the amount of steps forward that have been made
yeah.
are minimal compared to when you upgrade, you know, a few years down the line or yeah. whatever it may be.
The thing, I think we talked about it before, but the only thing you can improve in a sport, the only thing that really changes in a sports game for the next year is, the roster is updated. The roster, and
but that can be updated over.
That can be updated
online,
folks,
right?
Yeah, some folks can update their roster for the next year's season on the old game. That's what someone did. Someone made a roster for current Major League Baseball rosters and put it on MLB The Show 23.
Okay,
so if anybody can download it there and put the most current roster on there. That you can.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even feel like it's a selling point, to be honest with you. Where it's like, ooh, buy the new game; it's got an updated roster.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like a reason to slap down, you know, what does it cost? 60?
Yeah. 60, 70
bucks. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not in that world. I'm not in that environment.
Yeah, I think the only thing really the storylines with, I think they did it with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
I think they did that. And they updated the Road to the Negro Leagues. They put new stories in that. That's other than that.
That was in 24?
That was in 24.
Okay.
So other than that, that's the only things they improve other than the roster.
Right.
Try to beat the blue deck again in Bellatro. I got to ante 6 out of 8 so far before I had to close it out. I got a few jokers I haven't seen before, so I'm going to play with those, see what I can do with it. Mm-hmm. I did get one that said, remember, Splash, every card scores. Yeah. I did that. Got a few polychromatics jokers as well. Found a negative one, so I have six jokers to work with. I kept getting a spectral card, Black Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Every hand is leveled up once, and I got that two times.
Every hand you play? You know.
No, every hand you have. Every hand available is updated level when you use this card. So every card is up to every hand is up to level two. Like every flushes are now at level two.
Oh, okay.
High cards is at level two. You know, all the type of hands you can have is all at level two now. And then I found that again. So all of them got jacked up again. Maybe because of a voucher I had or something. I don't know. But
oh, really? So you know what? I didn't even think about that. So when you get that card, it upgrades your hands.
Yeah.
Then you can sell that card. That you don't lose the upgrade.
No,
they stay permanently upgraded.
It's to be used immediately. Use this spectral card.
Oh, it's a spectral.
It's a spectral
card.
Not a
joker.
It's a spectral card.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Was thinking it was a joker.
No. The spectral card is the one that upgraded the level to all the hands that I had available.
Right.
So, that happened a few times. So I used that, and it's doing pretty well for me right now. I'm getting some pretty good scores. So hopefully I can beat the blue deck and upgrade to the next, go to the next one, the green deck. I'm sorry, black deck.
Yeah, I have no. It's been a minute since I've opened up Velotro.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played in a while. I've been sticking in demos and playing with and doing Mad Max. You know? So I really just haven't jumped on the Velotro bandwagon again yet.
Yeah.
So it'll come back around. I haven't uninstalled it like I have other things. So
No, because you still want to keep it around because you'll get back to it eventually.
And it doesn't. It's not. You know. It's not eating up a ton of space on my hard drive. So
nope. That's one of the best parts. And finally, I've been playing Elden Ring. Still getting ready for it. I want to get back to the swing of things because I was making a whole bunch of terrible mistakes at the beginning, hitting the wrong button to attack. I kept hitting the item button instead of attacking. I was just hitting
you got to get your muscle memory back.
Yeah, get the muscle memory back. So instead of hitting the shoulder buttons and the trigger buttons, I was hitting the face buttons and messing up a lot in that. So when I get that all said and done, I want to get to the spot where the DLC is and then pick it up and start playing it. Because that may have been a reason why there's so few people turned out for Virtua Fighter that night. Because everyone was playing, because it came out on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was playing Elden Ring that night. So it was a slow, low turnout.
I really should have checked my Steam profile just to see all the people playing, but I never thought to look at it to see who is. And so a lot of people playing that on console than they are on PC. I say that. A lot of people I know probably playing it on console than they are PC.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a game that I'll eventually get to just because of all the hype and everything else. I kind of want to dip my toe into it, even though
it's the most user-friendly Souls-like game you can play right now, Elden Ring.
The, you know, little guy in your head whispering, saying like, hey, go play it. You know, everybody else is playing it, go play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other little guy in your head whispering like, you know, that's not your game. Like, that's not your type of game.
Mm-hmm.
You realize you're going to jump into this thing because everybody else is, and you're going to come to the same conclusion you would be regardless. Like, you'd get in there and be like, man, yeah, these ain't my type of games. This is not it. This is not it.
Mm-hmm.
Chairs falling apart.
Yeah, like a lot of things here, huh?
How
old is this building?
Including the staff.
Yeah. So other than that, I forgot to mention, I played a bit of the Division 2 as well.
Okay.
Got back to that. I'm trying to get to level 40 before I can get into the DLC for that game as well, the Warlords of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't gotten to that yet, but I want to get to level 40. It's still a loot shooter, so I'm still trying to pick up a certain type of rifle and sidearm.
Yeah.
But not there yet. Not at level 40 anyway. So like I said before, don't get too attached to a weapon early. Don't get attached until you get to like level 40 and find something better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I jumped into some more demos on Sunday after the show. I jumped into some demos this morning as well. A lot of the demos that I had downloaded for Next Fest, they're still available. They're still active.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I did download the Operator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I did download it. I ain't play it, but I just downloaded it because you said it's limited time before they...
I guess it is. On some, it is. On some, it's not. You know, there's some that I've had demos for that it's just a forever demo type thing. It never goes away. But there are some from the Next Fest where they will... They're continually being updated, but eventually they will come to a point where it's like, okay, remove the demo. So, you know, just keep that in mind. If you're on Steam and you've downloaded a bunch of these... demos from Next Fest, that some of them may stay around, but the majority of them will eventually go away after a while. So I did not try Flintlock. The demo, I may have it downloaded, but I have not run the game yet. So what I did play, well, let me go ahead and say that I finished Mad Max, a game that I started in 2015 and finished in 2024. I went ahead and finished that throughout the week. I would play a little bit here and there. And, you know, it pulls the same thing that a lot of games do that really annoy me. However, most of this is my own fault. So, what am I trying to get at? All the best stuff you get at the end of the game. But by the time it's the end of the game, I have no use for it. You know?
Now, oh, okay.
That's on me, partly, because of the way that I play open world games. Once I finish an open world game, once I finish the main story, I don't feel like sitting around doing side stuff. I know this about me. Mm-hmm. My drive, my motivation, it's not there. I've beaten the boss. Why do I need to keep leveling up and upgrading my character?
Okay, as opposed to how I play it, I do all the side missions I can before I start ending the main story.
Yeah, no, I do the same thing.
So that's how, yeah.
I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, I mean, we're the same in that regard.
Okay.
So in other words, it's on me because the way Mad Max works is like it's big open world. And as you go through it, you take down all these different things that are in these different sections of the map. And as you do, it lowers the enemy presence within that map.
Yeah. Danger level, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I have time to move on, it's like, well, have I cleared everything in this section before I move on to my next section? No. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and clear it all up.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. Then I move to the next section, the next section, the next section. And then I move the story. You know, if I can't progress until I progress the story, then I'll clean up everything I can and then hit the mission that progresses the story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't want to have to come back and clean this up. I want to do it all ahead of time now as much as I can and then move the story along. And I mean, it does give you towards the end of the game, it does give you that warning of like, hey, if you need to do upgrades or need to do anything else, now's the time to do it because you're about to hit the point of no return here. Like once you go into this next mission, it carries you to the end of the game, which is fine because when you beat the game, you get a bunch of other things and upgrades and stuff like that for the car, for your character, weapon, stuff like that. You get the final upgrades and everything else. Mm-hmm. But by the time I get there with the style that I play, which is clear everything first and then move on, I had no use for it, you know?
I'm trying to find a comparison of games because I've never played Mad Max. How about Fallout? Fallout 3 or Fallout 4?
I wouldn't be able to help you on that one.
Because I played all the side missions, and I still had a desire to go further into the wasteland after I beat the main story mission.
I'm trying to think of what you might...
You can still pick up stuff.
Yeah.
And modify things here and there.
GTA might be a good way to look at it, possibly. Maybe not, actually. Now that I think
online
about it.
Or the main story?
Hmm? The main story.
The main story.
Yeah, no online stuff. Man, I'm trying to think of where else I could give you an example of this. I mean, Assassin's Creed comes to mind because I would do the same thing in Assassin's Creed as I do here, where you've got this open world map and you can go do all these things. But the thing about Assassin's Creed is they don't give you the final upgrade as a result of beating the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should have the final upgrade before you even go into the the boss battle or the final part of the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Whereas Mad Max, once you complete the game, that's when you get these things. Mm-hmm. Had I not swept the map of all the different things that I needed to have done. Mm-hmm. And let me be clear, I haven't finished everything, but everything that feels like it's worth doing is done. And by that, I mean, there are plenty of places for me to loot, but I can hover the map over that looting thing and it can tell me what's there. And it's all scrap stuff. But because I'm fully upgraded, I don't need any more scrap. Mm-hmm. Scrap was a way that you would pay for upgrades, upgrade parts of your bases, upgrade your cars, add, you know, that sort of thing. I'm fine on my scrap in the world. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to hit these. There's an achievement for cleaning all of them out, but there's a bunch of them on the map. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, now that I'm done, I'm not going to go and do all of these things. I've done all the other stuff really that needs to be done to get your upgrades, to do fully upgraded everything, and to move on to the story. I've done all that.
Yeah. So basically there's nothing worthwhile to you to do after.
For me, yeah. For me, there's not. Now, if I had left a bunch of stuff undone, mm-hmm. I'd be rocking it, man. Yeah. That'd be great. I'd have all this cool, you know, my car would be completely upgraded. My gun would be completely upgraded. My armor would be completely upgraded. Be great. Be wonderful to go through. Can't do it.
So I guess in games now, they've got you doing something after the main story is done, something to keep you playing after.
DLC
it's all done.
Was planned for this. Yeah. They never got around to doing it, but DLC was planned for this.
So Mad Max was unfinished?
Possibly. Possibly. They never started. I don't think they ever started working on the DLC for it. Mm-hmm. But there were, according to people at Avalanche, there were plans for DLC for the game. Mm-hmm. But the game didn't do very well. And it never got it never got the DLC for it.
So despite how much fun you had with it, it wasn't received well, but...
It wasn't, but let me tell you,
tons of games like that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Last night I watched a retrospective on it. Obviously, because the movie came out recently, the Furiosa thing, mm-hmm. it kind of drawn people back into it. It's a really good game, especially for the age. Mm-hmm. For being the age it is, and I want to go, let me open link in a new tab. I'm going to go to the store here and see how much it is. Max. It's $20, but I bet on a sale that thing. It's got a very positive review score. 46,000 reviews, and all reviews very positive. It released September 1st of 2015. It is $20, but I think you can probably get it cheaper. It's also deck verified, by the way. And if you go down into the reviews, a couple of my friends reviewed it. Back in 2021, this from Mozgus, which is on my friends list on Steam, he says it had no business being as good as it was. It really didn't. It was just really, really good. Who else? Jimmy the Saint posted something. This was back in 2015. He says, thank you, Avalanche, for a great game. Well-made PC game that captures the essence of a vast wasteland. Another reviewer says this game is super underrated. Great game. What else? Avalanche Studio forgot about this masterpiece. But yeah, it's really, really good. It looks good. It plays great. It's really, really interesting. I liked it so very much, and it was great to be back in that world. Again, go watch some videos. I can't remember who's the videos that I watched, but there were a few people who were going back to the game and talking about it, talking about how great it looks, and it really does. Talking about how there wasn't really a comparison to some sort of open... Think about an open-world game where your main traversal is a vehicle. The map on that needs to be pretty big, considering a vehicle can get you from point A to point B pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so in order to give that sense of scale so that it takes you a minute to get from point A to point B, that map's got to be pretty big. And it is here, but it's also full of some amazing vistas that you get out of there. The sky is just beautiful. It has a night and day cycle in it, and you get storms, and you get thunderstorms, and you get sandstorms, and you get just fantastic visuals. The fire looks amazing, especially when I'm driving down and I explode another car that's chasing me by shooting the gas tank or hitting it with dynamite or whatever the case may be. To be going at speed and see a car blow up and get thrusted up into the air forward in front of me, immediately click the thumbsticks to go into photo mode, and have the, and then move this camera around and have a great shot of an exploding car above my head while driving right under it. It's just nice. It's just really, really good. And it's a horrible shame that we never got more of it, or that it just wasn't recognized for as good as it was. And something else, going through this story, if you haven't beaten the game yet, and I'm not going to spoil anything, there's not really any spoilers to give you here, but Avalanche did stuff with the story that I didn't think they were going to do. Like, I legit thought that they were going to, I don't know how to say this. I legit thought they were going to be stereotypical with it. And, you know, hero walks off into the sunset, gets the girl, and everything else is fine. Mm. And they don't. They make it as dour and horrible as possible.
There is no happy ending.
There isn't. And I love that they kept that in there. And I have no idea if this is from George Miller's notes, because I know that they were the lore of the development of this game was that when Fury Road was due to release or working on it, Warner Brothers commissioned, but had Avalanche Studios do the game, and George Miller stepped in and kind of gave him his lore Bible and said, you know, here, work with this. And they went through it and they picked stuff out that they wanted and all this stuff. And eventually George left. He had creative differences, but he left. But Warner Brothers was like, no, we're going to go ahead with the game. They own the property. It's a Warner Brothers film anyway, I believe. So they continued working with it. There are names and places that are the names of characters and places in the wasteland here that are mentioned frequently in the films, even some in the most recent film as well. There is continuity where we're playing in the past, but some of the films take place ahead of time, and there is continuity between stuff they put in the game and then stuff that shows up in Fury Road and some of the other Mad Max titles as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe even Furiosa, I believe, is also, because I believe the lore Bible that they had to work with contained parts about Furiosa when they were making this. And, or at least some of the characters that were used in Furiosa and some of the locations. And I think they used some of that as well. Mm-hmm. But the way they handled some of the story beats in this, I kind of applauded them for it, because you don't normally get that from your video game developers. Mm-hmm. You don't normally get that. Stories don't normally go that way in these kind of games. Mm-hmm. Stories want to reward the player with their ending and that sort of thing. Like, you know, sometimes they don't, because they're setting up for a sequel, but there was no setup for a sequel in this game.
Mm-hmm. Considering this, it's a post-apocalyptic world, what's there to get happy about at the end, really?
Yeah, let me go ahead and spoil it. The game's the name 9-year-old game.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil the Mad Max game right now. So if you're listening and you don't want to get spoiled by the Mad Max, just the game. I'm not spoiling any other films or anything like that, but I'm spoiling the game. There is a mission there, and understand that when I started back playing this thing, it was 9 years later, so I had kind of forgotten most of the plot. Mm-hmm. I just knew I needed to go do the green dot, because that's the next story mission, and it would move that along. I totally understood that. But you go to rescue this woman, who then needs you to rescue her child. So you rescue the woman, and then eventually you find the child, you rescue the child. You bring the child back with you. It's all nice and whatever, and that's great. And then you go off to do some other stuff, and you get word that, you know, the camp that you left her at and her child at, that's all been raided and everything else. You go back, and you find her completely dead, strung up, just horribly killed.
Yeah. Seen that plot device before.
Then you find her child done the same way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, 2015, you're killing the women and children. Now, understand that if I sound giddy about this, it's not because I'm demented or anything like that.
Sounds like the Raiders in Fallout.
Maybe.
Like I said, I've seen this type of setup before.
Yeah.
It's the tragic pull on the heartstring thing and making, I guess, a hard reminder that, yeah, this is the type of world you're in.
And not only that, your buddy who sits in the back of the car for the entire game, like you, one of the first missions you do is kind of beat this dude up because he challenges you, and then he becomes your number one fan, basically, and he's there to help you, and he upgrades the car. He sits in the back of the car, and he throws the dynamite and does the different thing, the grapple hook or whatever. He does all these things. He's your little right-hand man. His name is Chum Bucket.
Okay.
That's okay. The names are fantastic. There's a medic in the game, and because this world is built around machinery, you know, and it's set way into the future after everything has gone away. The medic is not a doctor. He is called an organic mechanic. And I thought, well, that's clever.
Mm-hmm.
However, anyway, they go through, you even kill your buddy who is on the back of the thing, you know, like he builds this car for you. And that's the lore of it. I mean, you're upgrading it, but he's the one that like goes in and puts in the upgrades. Mm-hmm. When the car gets damaged, he's the one that fixes the car. And you upgrade him to be able to do that. But there's a scene at the end of the game when you're about to ram your car into another car. And he's like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And he gets on the hood of the car. He's like, don't do it. And you're like, get off the car. And he won't get off. He's like, all right, your choice. And he just drives straight ahead, bails out of the car. It smashes in with your buddy on the hood, dead. You know, just everyone. And this was right after they had already killed the woman and child.
Mm-hmm.
Just dour, you know. But I loved that they went in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You don't normally get that in your narratives in video games or much else. You know, and I'm not saying I need everything to end on a dour note, but if you are writing a saga of a person, such as Mad Max, this is his life. And I think that is established early on in the films, actually, because I was watching, again, I watched a lot about this. I was watching a George Miller thing last night as well, where he was talking about the films, not talking about the video games. He was talking about the films.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in, I think, two or three, Thunderdome or Road Warrior. And I can't remember which one it was, but he was talking about how Max doesn't make friends, because every time he makes friends, people just, they tend to die or leave him or betray him or something like that. So he doesn't make friends. He doesn't fall in love. He doesn't do anything. He just stays alone as best he can. And he knows this. As he goes through, he absolutely knows this when he's rescuing the woman. He doesn't want to rescue her, but in order to get what he needs to get, he has to rescue her. And then when he has to fulfill his deal to rescue the kid too, he's reluctant to do so, but he's doing it out of the fact that, well, she helped me. I'll get the kid. If it does this, fine. I'll feel good about it because I lost my own, you know, wife and child.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this. And then they kill him. And he just, that whole, it just reinforces his original resolve of, I'm not getting involved with anybody, you know? And that, the fact that they keep that sticking and they don't like, oh no, we'll give him the girl and we'll give him the kid and they'll go off and, you know, who knows what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And do that. Because that's not what the character's about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they stuck with that. I'm glad that they did that. I was not expecting it.
Staying true to the character.
It really wasn't.
Yeah.
And then
because
when you...
Because we do have a whole bunch of folks who are taking extreme liberties with... established characters lately nowadays. These are here.
They absolutely,
the
yeah. And I don't mind it, honestly. If this game had done the other thing, I wouldn't be sitting here complaining like, I wish they'd have gone the other route. It had just been like, hey, it was still a great game. You know, I finished it up, but I'm actually giving it bonus praise because they decided to go that way with the narrative, and that's perfectly fine. I'm glad that they did. It makes sense to go that way in the narrative. And I love that it did. And when I was done, interestingly enough, when you're done, they're like, okay, game's over. You're free to, you know, you're free to explore the wasteland, finish up what you want. But they bring all these other characters back. They're like, hey, Chum Bucket's back. And he's, they had no way they didn't write him back in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There was no story way for them to bring him back. But because you still got stuff to do in the game and you still have to have that person on the back, they're like, hey, Chum Bucket's back and he's going to be your, you know, your shotgun guy. Mm. So go around, finish up what you got to do in the wasteland, that sort of thing. But I was, yeah, I was done. I was done. But I loved it. I really, yeah. Absolutely. I've already uninstalled it on the thing. But if you've got the game and you never finished it, go back to it. Mm. I know I've recently spoiled the entire thing, but if you've got the game, go back to the game.
Or let it inspire you to get those other games out your backlog that you haven't finished.
Yeah. I know. You know what the next game I looked for when I finished this? It was another Warner Brothers game. The sequel to Mordor. I always get them confused because there's Shadow of War and Shadow. I think there's Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War or something. I can't remember. It's a Warner Brothers game. Do I have it on my...
Middle-Earth Shadow of War?
Yeah, I think that's it, yeah.
2017.
Yeah. Monolith Studios. There it is. I added it to my wish list. Hmm. It's the sequel to... Which one? Store page. Yeah, Shadow of War is the sequel, and... Look at the package info. Shadow of Mordor. Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor was the first game, and then Shadow of War is the second game. And Shadow of War is the one that I'm going for. I don't own it, so I'll be looking to pick that up on the next sale. Currently, it's like $50, and there's no way I'd be spending $50 on a game that came out in 2017, unless it's a Sony or Nintendo first-party title. Then maybe. Or the old Activision, which they would never drop their prices either, regardless of how it was.
I think in my case it would be you remember this one, Wet.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. It was I think the last time I saw you playing it, you were navigating crates falling out of the back of a cargo plane.
Probably.
And jumping between stuff, between boxes and crates and
vehicles. That was a great game. Dude, really, really good on that one too. But I loved Mad Max. I really, really did enjoy a lot of it. And I was going to move on to Shadow of War because I had read some leaked material about the Wonder Woman game that they're working on. It's a single player type game that they're working on. But some of the information that we got from it was that it's Warner Brothers game. It's a Warner Brothers property, so it's one of their studios. Monolith, who did Shadow of War. But it's also going to incorporate their Nemesis system, which is a system that I was, for one, glad to see that they hadn't dropped and they're still using it for an upcoming title. Mm-hmm. But number two, to see that it's still around and getting use. And I really wish it would have taken off a lot better. The Nemesis system from Shadow of Mordor or whatever that was, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed that. It could have been used in I would have liked it to have seen it in Mad Max, but I don't think it was developed at the time. Mad Max was in 20... No. Shadow of Mordor was in 2014, Mad Max 2015, and Shadow of War was 2017, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that Nemesis system was fantastic. And did you ever get to... Did you ever play any of that? Oh, it's great, man. You come across a boss... Or at least the way that it works is that it's almost like a, oh man, what is it? I don't want to say a family tree, but a hierarchy, of like, you got, in order to get to the big boss, you got to go through his underlings first. Mm-hmm. And as you go through his underlings, you learn more about that boss as you make it. Of course, they're also learning about you. So when you defeat one of the generals or the people that are in his group, mm-hmm. You learn more about him, but he also gains knowledge that, hey, you've taken out one of my guys, and so I'm going to make sure my other guys are on alert. Mm-hmm. And as you go and pick them off, they learn more about you. You learn more about them as you keep going. Now, you don't have to go through the bottom ranks. I mean, you can skip ahead and take out some of the others to get further in there, but it's better to go that route because the more you know about your enemy, the better you are. Because then you learn, oh, is immune to fire. So I don't have to worry about that. Or fire is his weakness or something like that. So I need to use fire spells and stuff, you know.
So what's the boss learn about you?
I can't remember. I can't remember how it works. Well, for one, knows where you're at, depending on where you make the kill at. Mm-hmm. To either send more troops in that direction, I think, or something like that. I don't really remember what it is about that. Mm-hmm. But
See, when you say learning about each other, I'm thinking of I know your tendencies, I know what weapon you use, I know how you attack, how mm-hmm. you do things like that, and I know the best way to counter. It's like basically you against the AI, learning right. about each other and making the best strategy.
Mm-hmm. Well, like if you have certain abilities that you use to defeat a boss, mm-hmm. that boss then learns that you have those abilities
yeah.
and can prepare for those, mm-hmm. depending on what they are, if they want to do that.
So the difficulty, basically, the more the underlings mm-hmm. you take out, the more difficult the battle will be at the end.
You know, let me rephrase that. If you are unable to beat them, mm-hmm. in other words, if they beat you or they escape and get away, mm-hmm. that's how they learn more about you. So you have to make sure that you kill them.
Mm.
But there are times when I have not been able to get... I remember in the first game, there were times... And sometimes I would just do it, let them get away.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you got achievements for, defeating a character who, on like the fifth attempt, once they've buffed themselves enough to where... Because when you go back to take on a guy that you've tried to take on before, they're stronger... they know your, mm-hmm. they know your weaknesses now. You know theirs, that sort of thing. So there's something about it. But it was more fun for me to not get the kill in at first,
mm-hmm.
to let my legend spread in the ranks, so that they think, okay, he took out this guy, he took out this guy, he almost took out him. So they either get scared or they.
Oh yeah.
Band nothing, together.
Nothing more accurate than a sixth hand information, right?
Right. Yeah, I know. It's great. I'm going to come back. We got to take a break because we're way behind. But when you come back, I'm going to jump into my demos here that I've been playing. AC Wraith, I'm sorry. He's had a lot to say here. The problem was you had to take the people who enjoyed the game along with those who were way too thrilled about a male focus after Fury Road. He was in love and had a kid. It ended poorly. We're talking about Mad Max, Shadow of War is the sequel. I didn't finish either. I quit right before being tempted by the grind I was warned about. If you're talking about Mad Max, yeah, there's a grind there. There probably is in Shadow of War as well. I don't know. They did patent the Nemesis system. It is theirs. But they don't use it enough. I think they used it in the two Middle Earth games, and I don't remember if they ever brought it back for anything else. I don't think they did.
Maybe they can't fit it with the genre.
Yeah, I don't know. AC Wright says, once it was an option, I always made the... Okay, one thing you could do in some of the ranks of the boss, you know what I'm saying? Like the underlings and everything... You could bring them over to your side, sort of, and then they would attack their boss or whatever. There were ways to do that. I can't remember how it all worked. It's been a while since I played the games, but there was a way to get them on your side to fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And AC Wraith says, Shadow of War ends with a serious grind. Okay, thanks for the heads up on that. When we come back, I'll go over some demos I played, some really good demos that I played last week, and we'll jump into the news as well. We had a Nintendo Direct recently, so we'll be getting into that. It's all coming up on In Game Chat. We've got music here. We're going in. It's retro week as we do these things. It's every other week here, and we've got Sonic 3D Blast. It is the Rusty Ruins Zone. We'll be back with more of In Game Chat right after this. And welcome back in to In-Game Chat. And all they had to work with 8 bits, but they are going nuts with it, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Actually, they had less than that.
Yeah, well, that's how we determine the talent. The more you can make with the less you got.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's how you know you're talented.
That comes from LED Storm off the ZX Spectrum. Mm-hmm. It was the title theme for that game, LED Storm. I don't know if that's called Lead Storm. I'm calling it LED Storm, but I don't know. So anyway, welcome back to the show. We only got a few minutes here. We're going to take another break because I went way over talking about the Nemesis system. It was really, really cool. And during the break talking to RJ, some of the mechanics of it came back to me and I had forgotten how it all worked and like, how would you let a guy get away? And I realized that, the Shadow of Mordor was an open world type of thing. And you'd see where camps were located or you'd learn about camps or you'd find a guy doing patrol and you could interrogate him or you could do a mind meld or something you could do with your hand to learn what they knew or hear what they, you know, try to get information from them to find out about where their camp is or who the boss is or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you would have to find the underling who was over this camp of other even further underlings or whatever. And whenever you would go in and get alerted, they would come to fight you. And you would have a certain amount of time to get to where the main underling was in order to engage him in combat. However, once engaged in combat, you were going to have other people attacking you. It wasn't just going to be a one-on-one fight. You would have other people attacking you, and at times they would try and get away. And mm-hmm. you would also try and get away, but then they would throw a fire thing at you or try and, you know, the other... Mm-hmm. You would, a lot of the times, you would be distracted by trying to clear out the other enemies while letting the other guy get away.
It's a basic thing. Keep him occupied while I get out of dodge.
Basically. Exactly. That's how it worked. And it felt, honestly, playing Mad Max, I felt like, man, the Nemesis system would have been wonderful here. It really would have.
It would have fit.
Oh, it easily would have fit, especially with the way that worked, because there is a hierarchy in the Wasteland, or at least in Mad Max, with all the different, there's not really a lot of factions. There's the War Boys, and then there's different enemy types that they had, and I don't necessarily remember seeing these enemy types in the films. It's been a while since I've gone back to the films outside of Fury Road, and I haven't seen Furiosa, but Mad Max 1, 2, and 3 has been forever since I've watched those. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I should do something about that because it's been a while. And I don't know. That game's really, really good. It's so much better than it has any right to be. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fantastic. So anyway, Sunday was more demo day for me after the show last weekend. So last weekend I played a couple of demos. Super Farming Boy was an interesting little, I don't know what to call it.
In relation to Super Meat Boy?
Yeah, and there's nothing, no relation to that. Basically, it's very cartoony. You have a farm, and you're super powered, so you can fly around your farm, which is nice because that moves you much faster over the area to get to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. There's no like mechanic to flying. You just press a button and move, and you're flying, that sort of thing. You'd go over and you water plants, you pick plants. You plant plants, or you get rid of stuff that's in the way, like a tree stump or a rock, and then you till the ground, and then you plant, and then you grow, and then you harvest. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a mechanic in the game to where certain vegetables harvest a certain way. Corn, for instance. From what I understand with corn, they go in a horizontal line, not a vertical line. Now, you can plant them in any sort of way you want to plant them. But if you plant them in a horizontal line and pick one at the very end, as you pick it, all the others get picked. So it's a speedy way to get it done. Mm-hmm. But you've got to set that up ahead of time. Mm-hmm. If you don't plant in certain areas over time, the ground grows back. You got to keep that, whatever. But if there's stuff planted, you're good. Except in the early stages of the game, you're unable to do that. There's another one that if you pick the center vegetable, all the vegetables that surround it in a square pattern get picked as well. Mm-hmm. Those are the properties of the different things like tomatoes and eggplants and potatoes and corn and things like that. So
just remember the pattern.
Yeah, that's the pattern.
Yeah.
You have a stamina meter. So every time you water plants, you lose a little bit of stamina. Every time you pick a plant, you lose stamina. Every time you do basically anything, you lose stamina. Now, flying, you do lose stamina when you fly. It's a very small amount, but it doesn't continue to tick while you're flying. If you just stay hovered in the air and fly around, you've only lost the very little stamina that you did at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't tick down over time. In other words, right. It's not a penalty to fly.
Mm-hmm.
To move around the area as fast as you can. There's no penalty to that. The mechanic of it is, and I have no idea how, I don't remember the story on this because I was zipping through the thing, but like some evil corporate or something is what his name is. I have no idea. Evil something. He's got a bow tie and whatever. He's a
evil
big cloud.
Evil food company.
Yeah, whatever. Basically. Yeah. He comes by every time you go to sleep at night. He enters your dreams and he takes all the stuff that you've harvested or found. There's also, you pick up diamonds. Sometimes when you pick up, some of the vegetables, a coin drops. Why? I don't know. It's just a game. So you pick up the coin, that's money. As he takes stuff for you, or as he takes the stuff that you've harvested, you basically are selling it to him and you earn money.
Hmm.
When you earn that money, you can go to his shop to get, upgrades to the things you have. You can upgrade your stamina. You can upgrade the water that you do, or bunch of different things that you can upgrade.
Hmm.
There's a worm that you can buy that will go around and pick all the different vegetables for you, or at least to help you do that. It's a worm. He's not lightning fast, but he goes and he starts picking stuff up while you're doing other things.
I'm guessing he doesn't know the patterns either.
I don't know about that because I never got to a point where I could learn those patterns and mm-hmm. do what I needed to do because I was always about trying to make as much money as I could in the time mm-hmm. I had before I had to go to sleep. You don't have to go to sleep. There's a certain point at the game though where these things enter your garden and they start moving closer and closer to you. If you go to sleep, you wipe them out and the next day you're fine. But I feel like that's the mechanic to get you to go to sleep type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, go to sleep, do the thing, buy the stuff, go back out. Then I could run to another part of the map where a food truck was and buy some bread. There's all sorts of different things you could buy, but bread was the cheapest. And automatically when my stamina would run out, I would eat the bread and it would come back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could do some more and eat the bread, come back up, that sort of thing. So I enjoyed it. It's not bad. It's a nice little... not necessarily a rogue, but I don't know. It was okay. It was okay. Wasn't bad. The controls were good. There really wasn't anything bad. You just gotta be into that sort of gameplay mm-hmm. loop to want to do it. And in some ways I was, but I feel like there's a point where I've upgraded everything. What happens next?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go? I mean, I do this over and over again, but where does it go afterwards? I don't know. What else did I play? Oh, man, we're already at the top of the hour. Man, I have no time. Actually, I do. It's just I talk too much. Ugh, condense, man. Squeeze it down. It's hard to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll finish these. I'll tell you the other games that I played so you can sit around and decide if you want to listen to this. I played Tom the Post Girl. Fantastic. Dungeons of Hinterberg. Also great. Free Ride, not good. Arranger, a role puzzling adventure, that is good. Dungeon Clawler, also good. And The Alters. The Alters is the one I really want to talk about. So when we come back, we'll jump into talking about all of those. But The Alters is still available as a demo, and if you've got a PC that can run that, go do it. Go do it. Battlecruiser Millennium is the name of this next track that we're going to play, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. ¶¶ And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Probably not a song you're gonna know, huh? A track you're gonna remember? Mm-hmm. That is, yeah, it's the NES. It is stage one of the Adventures of Bayou Billy.
Oh, I remember that title.
Yeah.
Never played it, but I remember the game.
God, I remember playing it. Well, I do remember that I did play it. I'd have to go back and look and see it to remember what exactly it looked like to be played, because I don't remember that. But I legit played it. I do remember renting it. I feel like I did. Who was that? Was that Konami? That was Konami, I believe. Ye old adventures of Bayou Billy. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We're still talking demos because my rambling mouth won't, stick to a topic and finish it without... I'm doing it now. Doing it right now. Rambling. God, I'm horrible at this.
Thanks, Bayou Billy.
It ain't Bayou Billy's fault. My own. All right, so we talked about Super Farming Boy, so I played that. Tom the Post Girl. Mm-hmm. That is weird and quirky and feels like it's... it feels like it's just a really fun title to figure out all the little things that it does. The story of it, I can't even begin to go into to tell you, because trying to explain that would be ridiculous. But you...
I was looking at it during the break. Basically, you're a nosy protagonist who finds out a whole bunch of stuff about this town that she's living in.
Which you don't have to. You can play it completely straight and like, I have mail, I'm going to deliver it, right? You can play it that way if you want to. But you have the option. Right, exactly. You have the option, like there's an overworld map, so you go to these different locations to drop off mail. When you get there, you can wander around the area of the house that you've arrived on their front lawn, whatever, that you've arrived. You can wander around the area. You can go up to different windows. If you're able to look in, you can look in and see what's going on. You hear noises and things like that. There is no like detective work on this. There is no... It is just, there's, I don't even know what the object is other than to deliver the mail. I know that when I finished the demo, I got a report back saying, like, you were directed to deliver the mail to these houses. What you instead did was you spied on this person, you broke this, you did this, all these things that you went and did because it's open world. I say it's open world, but it's up to the player to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So it tells you all the things you did except for delivering the mail.
Mm-hmm.
You can look into the package that you have to deliver before you drop it off if you want to. You're not supposed to, but you can do that if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And different things happen based on what you do. There was a farmhouse where, so the first mail delivery I did, I was snooping and looking around or whatever, but I didn't open up the package. I went and I delivered the package and that was it. Did my thing.
Mm-hmm.
The next house I went to was a farmhouse and there was a sign on the mailbox, like, don't knock on the door, which I thought, okay, glad I read the sign before I went and knocked on the door. And like, beware of dog or something like that. So don't knock on the door. So I go up to the barn, which is where it is. And I look through the crack and there's like a bunch of chickens in the farm. They're all sleeping. And there's the farmer, cuddled up with one of the chickens, sleeping in the hay there with his overalls and his hat and everything else. I'm like, okay, it's some weirdness. And this is all done in some very abstract style, every gory type art that is shown there. And thinking, okay, well, for this one, I think I'll look into the package. I'll go back and I'll open up the package and see what's in there. I open it up, and it's a fire extinguisher. I was like, well, that's odd. Then the barn catches on fire. Just randomly, after I open up the thing, the barn catches on fire. Mm-hmm. The chickens get out. Barn catches on fire. There's nobody there to put out the fire. And it's like, oh, okay. So if I had delivered the fire extinguisher, the fire wouldn't have happened. Something else would have happened, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But there's all these little things like that that you can see, and different things happen because of different things you do.
Yeah.
So
I was trying to figure out why the girl was named Tom, and I thought, okay, because it's a peeping Tom.
Oh, okay, so that's a good idea.
I guess that's why.
That's likely a good thing.
So it's just basically whether or not you want to invade people's privacy or not.
I can't fault that logic. Peeping Tom the post girl. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure, exactly. Yeah, it's just a really strange demo, but it's quirky enough that it held my attention. And I was like, ooh, you should play this. It's a free demo, and it's not going to take a lot to run on your PC. Mm-hmm. So feel free to go play it.
Yeah.
It really is not. It's a very, you know, not very demanding game.
Yeah. I mean, based on the Steam profile, if you could possibly find some very innocuous things or some pretty out there disturbing
things.
Oh,
there were. Yes, yeah. There were. There was a dog. It was a two-headed dog. Well, I don't want to say two-headed, because it wasn't like a, you know, one neck, two heads. It was
someone
like
Cerberus?
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
It was like a skag in Borderlands.
I don't know.
A head that splits in half.
No.
No, not like that? Okay.
It was basically front half is a dog. The back half is also a dog.
Okay.
So put it that way.
Okay. What was the thing on Nick? A cat dog. Kind of like that, I guess.
Yes, except
two dogs.
Dog.
Yeah.
That's what that would be. So like if you peep through the fence before you make this delivery, you can see the dog chained up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. You also, when you peek in, you see this really strange looking bathtub, but whatever. It's empty. Anyway, when you make the delivery, and I didn't look inside the package on this one, so I'm kind of curious what was in there. But when you make the delivery, you start hearing these noises and these sounds and blah. When you go back and look in the window of the bathtub, it's filled with blood. When you go back and you look through the fence, the dog collar is there, but the dog is gone. You don't outright see anything that happened, but you figure, well,
it's implied that something
that they decided to split the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just strange. Like the little things like that. So, yeah, give it a look. Dungeons of Hinterburg. That was kind of fun. The art style in Dungeons of Hinterburg is really cool. It is all about dungeons. When you go through a dungeon and you complete it, you get credits and you get upgrades and you can move into other parts of the map. You have this snow surfboard type thing that you can ride that gives you more maneuverability over the map and are able to grind rails that take you from one, because they're all these like floating platform type things. Yeah. And you get on a rail, then you can grind it all the way to the next one.
Hoverboard.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Something like that. And there's sword attacks and there's, you know, it was good. It was really, really good. That's something I look forward to playing whenever it does actually get a release.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeons of Hinterburg. And I don't mean it in like a Tom the Post Girl type of way where it's like, oh, I'll just play that for the fun of it. Dungeons of Hinterburg actually feels like that would be a good game to play. Mm-hmm. Going through all the, I mean, it's all about dungeons. And so it's, yeah, I really liked it.
Hmm.
Puzzles and enemies and all sorts of things to figure out. So I really enjoyed that. Free Ride was weird. Free Ride is, for one, just kind of hard to look at. And for two, very dialogue heavy. I didn't get a sense of what was going on because there was so much dialogue. And I know it sounds like, you know, putting a book in front of me and I was like, oh, I got to read it. I don't want to read. Can I watch it? You know, that sort of thing. But man, there's a lot of stuff. And when the visuals aren't that great and the story doesn't hook you, reading a bunch of dialogue is not fun. I'll put it this way. Reading a bunch of dialogue at the beginning of a game is not fun to me. Unless you're setting up the story. I totally understand when you're setting up a story and giving me the story bits of that. But there's a point at which you need to move on from there.
I'm about to say there's a more efficient way of setting up a story.
I mean,
nowadays,
my God.
Especially nowadays, man.
I just remember it being a lot of dialogue. And it could have been me just being impatient and saying like, hey, get to the... Because up until then, all the demos I played kind of just jumped into their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This took a minute to get going. And I was just saying, yeah.
With no skip option.
Right. And that's the other thing. There's games that I like. Go back to that one I played called Pine, A Story of Loss. I understood what I was getting. There's not a lot of words. I understood what I was getting into, though, with that. This is going to be a slow-moving emotional story. Mm-hmm. Understand that. What was another one that I... there's a lot of games that are labeled as like a cozy type game. Mm-hmm. You're going to farm. You're going to do these things. It's very, you know, it's not threatening. It's not overly loud. It's very, very nice. Those set themselves up pretty easily. Dialogue or no dialogue, it's pretty easy, pretty quick to set themselves up. But man, that was just, I didn't like it. I did not like Free Rider or Free Ride. Arranger, a role puzzling adventure, was good. It had the art style of Braid. I don't know if you remember Braid.
Part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. The art style was very Braid-esque. But your character moves on tiles. So this is going to be very hard to describe.
By tiles, you mean like something like Bomberman?
Yeah, let's look at that. A grid system.
Okay, yeah.
Let's look at it as a grid system. When you're on when you're on a square in a grid, if you move left or right, then that entire lane moves with you. So if you're on an overhead map and there's a potted plant on the same lane as your character, and you need to move over one square, when you do, the entire lane shifts one square. Now, if you go off the edge, it automatically puts you at the other end of that lane. So it kind of warps
like
around.
Escape tunnel.
Yeah, it warps you around back to to the front.
Escape tunnel
to
Pac-Man.
Yeah. Which is fantastic because sometimes puzzles will block your direction. You can't move in that direction. But if you go, in other words, if there's two stones in front of me or a lane is blocked and I can't get past, if I go in the opposite direction all the way to the top, it'll warp me back to the bottom and I'm on the other side.
Yeah.
That's the mechanic that is used there. And you kind of have to figure out because there's items on certain places and you've got to be able to get to those without moving other things. And so you kind of have to plan around how you're going to get to the different things.
I want to get from point A to point B without shifting too much of the landscape.
But everything moves. Everything moves. So it was fantastic. I really, really like that. I really enjoyed that. So that's available to you. Swords, your attack, the ways you attack, there are swords on the lane and you've got to move those swords to where the enemy is. And if you can move them into the enemy, that's an attack.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you get it, you know, that's one hit point. So that was really good. I enjoyed that. Dungeon Clawler was another one that I liked. Man, setup on this is real simple. You get one run to go through, you know, until you die, and then you start the game over. Yes, Moltal says the mechanic of movement in Arranger feels like a series of conveyor belts. It's exactly what that is. Think about a conveyor belt. Think about, but the conveyor belt is moved by you. It's not constantly moving, but it's moved by you. Anyway, back to Dungeon Clawler. Basically, it's a claw machine, and you get, you know, one run to go through before you die. Once you die, that's it. You got this far into the game. Start again. So,
yeah, and you can, like what we went through with Balatro.
Yeah, and you can start again, I think, with upgrades and things like that that you can use to you know, make it further into the game. Dungeon Clawler is real simple. There is enemies on one side and you on another side. And in order for you to do anything, you have a claw machine that picks up these bubbles and you can see what's in them. There's also fluff as well, which means if you pick those up, you get nothing. But still... they contain shields, swords, other power-ups, bigger swords, bigger power-ups, health potions, poison potions, different things like that. If you get a bunch of you get two turns to pick your stuff. If you pick up two swords and a shield, then when the swords land, they attack the enemies. When the shield lands, you get buffed armor. You can see ahead of time what the enemies are going to do to you. Are they going to buff themselves or are they going to attack? You can see what they're going to do. You can look and see they're going to hit me with this many points because you know how much they're going to hit you with. I need to shield up with this many. So you can kind of prepare for the attack, but also try to attack yourself as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, because if all you do is shield up, you'll never drain their health.
You never drain their health,
So you do have to do a little strategy to it. Dungeon Clawler was great. I enjoyed that as well. I really did. That was good too. Then there's the Altars. This is the only demo that I tried that was like a demanding demo for your rig, you know? Looked really good. Like, really looked good for a demo. I was like really surprised the way this thing looked. You start out crash landing on this planet. You're the only survivor. And you figure that out as you go through the map of where you've landed, and you find other people's escape pods, and you realize they're deceased within there. So you realize you're the only one. So you make your way around. It's, like I said, again, it's beautiful looking. You find your base of operations. It is this giant wheel. I took a screenshot of it on my Steam page. If you go to my Steam the profile page and look at my screenshots, you can see the wheel that I'm talking about. In fact, can I share that, I guess? I guess I can. Hang on. Yeah, I think I can share that. And I'll put it in there in the chat room. I guess I can share that. Anyway, it's a big ring, and in the ring are all these different areas of your base. There are your crew quarters, your computer, your storage, your map, your communications, the kitchen. There's all different things there that you have. And this base can be upgraded. You can add modules. You can add more storage to it. You add, like, during the course of the demo, I added the kitchen and some other stuff in there. I added a couple of different things that you had to add as you go through. Your body gets tired after a while, and they tell you, well, when you get tired, you need to sleep. There's a time limit on this thing. You have a certain amount of days before the sun rises and destroys everything.
Okay.
And I think your objective is to get to safety or get off the planet, one or the other. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember the movie that I saw that was like that.
But you have a countdown. It's like, this is how many days, and you can set how long you need to sleep by how many active hours you, like, if I want to wake up at 7, it's like, okay, you'll have 14 hours worth of activity available to you. I'm like, okay. Like, if I get up at 8, it drops down to like 13 hours or something like that. Yeah. So it's like, okay, we'll get up at that time. I get up, I go out, I find resources and things like that, and I come back and store them, you know, as I can. And as you keep doing this, you learn more about what's going on. And eventually, you come to the point of what the entire game is about, cloning yourself. It does it in a really cool way that I didn't think that they were going to do. Like, every time this demo opened up a new part of the gameplay, it did it in the most stylish way. It just really just showed a lot of polish.
Yeah.
Just a lot of polish for every little thing that it did. So when I went to the quantum computer to clone myself, it shows a timeline of my character from birth to the point that I'm at that time. Mm-hmm. And all these sections in my life I can go and look at, from where my parents were fighting and I ran away from home and I missed when my mom died. I wasn't there for her. Oh, I met a girl. We fell in love. We saved up for a house. She got a job opportunity. I told her not to take it. And all these, you know, it's all these different things, to the point where I get on the ship to go do this mission. Mm-hmm. Well, when I have to clone myself, it goes back the computer. I have no idea if this is something that you select, but it was done in the tutorial. I go back to the point where I ran away from home. Mm-hmm. And this particular alter that I pull, his timeline is differently. He did not run away from home. He stayed. So when I bring him into the world, He's not brought in like a baby or something like that. I got to raise him or something. Please, let's not let the sci-fi go too much here. No, he's grown as a full adult, but his life is different from my life. We have the same parents. We sort of have the same sort of way that we think about things. Yeah. But his life, he never met the girl that I met. In his life, he was there when the mom passed away. Yeah. He was there to kick his father out of the house for being a, you know, being an abuser and everything else. He was there for all of that to take care of his mom and everything else. And he's got a little bit of spite for me for running away. Mm-hmm. So he kind of realizes what he's there for. He's like, you just made me because you need some job done. Why should I do that for you? And it's like, well, we're both going to die now if you don't. Like, because it's a two-man job. And then eventually, from what I gathered in this, and I got to the end of the demo before any more stuff was done, but you continue to make clones of yourself to do more and more stuff on the ship, to go out and gather more resources and to help you kind of get this stuff done. And they're all picked from different parts of your life. And you've got to talk to these people and you've got to take care of these people and bring them onto your side. Because for the most part, none of them like each other. Because of the different splits in the timeline, they obviously have different personalities, but there is a commonality because we're all the same person.
You're all the same person, just make different choices, like that whole butterfly effect thing.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And I can see, what a spite is because of you. I could have had this life, but because that one decision you made, now we're all stuck like this.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's where the animosity comes in. It already sounds like it's going to be a Herculean task to get everybody working together.
It is, but you have to go out. Yeah, you have to go out and gather your resources because all these clones you've made have to eat. Mm-hmm. And you have to feed them. And so you have to go in. And when you do tasks in the ship, that takes up time. Mm-hmm. When you collect resources, it does this speed up method. And you can see your time dwindle down as you're collecting resources. And the more resources you collect, while you can collect tons of resources while you're doing it, the time moves faster as you're doing it. And so you have to, eventually you set up, fast travel locations. Mm-hmm. Where you can go from the ship directly to where you can grab resources, but you do have to create those outposts first. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you do have to go out and, you know, explore and do all this stuff. Yeah, exactly. And so the whole point of the demo is to get the ship moving again. And the way to do that was to at least have the one clone. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to give you that sort of aspect of it. And so the Alters was just great. I really, really enjoyed the Alters. If you have a PC that can run that, and I believe it's going to get a console release too, if you have a PC that can run that, try that demo out. It's fantastic. Now that I've done talking about demos, you know what? I didn't talk about what I played today. And I can go over that for you very fast. All I played was the Albatross demo. That's a weird one. It's a survival hiking type thing. There's no horror elements to it, but I mean, you have to.
I don't know, nature's pretty scary, man.
Yeah, well, so far there wasn't any horror elements to it, but you do have to monitor your food, your water, your sleep.
Is it micromanaging?
It can be.
Yeah.
The default setting is that micromanaging, and you can bump it up to be even more demanding.
Every time I think about micromanaging, I think about the one thing that kept hampering me from. Enjoying Fallout New Vegas completely. It was all the micromanaging I had to do with the resources.
Mm-hmm. We Happy Few was the same thing. I didn't like that either. But anyway, Albatross, there is also a setting, you know, we talked about that, but there is a setting that's lower that says, I don't want to deal with survival. Mm-hmm. Just let me play the game and enjoy it. And you can do that. And give it a shot. The Albatross demo, the little bit that I played is beautiful. For one, I took a screenshot of that, but it's not showing up. Yeah, I took a screenshot of that too. It was beautiful. But I don't know if it's something I'm going to pick up. Mainly because I don't like the survival aspects of it. I don't like that micromanaging myself. Mm-hmm. I was worried about some of that with the Alters demo. I was like, oh, is this something? But it's not. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
I mean, you do have to eat, but it's not something that you're worried about on excursions or something. You can eat fine when you get back to the ship. There's not It's just not, it doesn't feel as pressuring as it does in some of the others.
Yeah. I mean, so despite being able to turn it off, it was still still turned you off.
Yeah. Well, I didn't play that setting.
Okay.
I said, well, let me play it the way the devs intended it.
Because
I did.
Yeah. Because I remember the ability to turn that micromanaging part off in New Vegas was there, and I appreciated that. But having it there, that really took away from the enjoyment I had of the game, especially playing Fallout 3. How much fun I had with that. I didn't have to worry about the drinking and eating and sleeping and things like that. It was optional, but it wasn't like going to break the game if you didn't do those things.
Yeah. So. And of course, like I said, I beat Mad Max and everything else. There's some other stuff that took place that went on last week. We had the Nintendo Direct that happened. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, but I wasn't ready for it, but there was a Germany devs, developers from Germany who were showing off games.
Mm-hmm.
Games made in Germany or something like that. I don't know. But there was a lot revealed there as well, and we're going to go over that when we come back with more of In-Game Chat. Here is another NES classic for you. It is the stage theme to Rambo.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Throwing out a lot of NES tracks today. This is the Stage 2 theme of Bad Dudes. How did that start off? The president's been kidnapped.
President Ronnie's been kidnapped, so he needs a couple of bad dudes to go get him back.
Are you a bad enough dude to save the president? Yep. Bad dudes. Like, and then it would end with like some horrible staticky voice thing. I'm bad.
Yeah.
I'm bad. It's really, you know, like it was coming out of a the
tomato
old
can.
Yeah, like out of the whatever back and forth at a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's still playing.
it was like the Data East was like Bad Dudes versus Green Dragon Ninja or something like that. Some weird
Did they do a sequel to Bad Dudes?
I don't think they did, but we got the internet right in front of our face. Why not?
He's not in town actually, but he's listening and he sent me a text. He's like, "This music jams. Is it Konami? No, it's Data East." But he got that right too. Data East. Bad Dudes.
Mm.
A bad enough dude. Hey, we talked about what was it called? Games Baked in Germany, which oddly enough, I don't have. But luckily, Multile in the chat room gave me a link that I could go to see those games. Oh wait, that's the accessibility, and I should have looked at that too. I didn't see that on YouTube, but I definitely will take a look at it. Ooh, there's some neat stuff I want to look at there. Definitely. Anyway, the Games Baked in Germany. What did we see there? We saw Throne Fall, Morbid Metal. There wasn't a lot that really kind of caught my eye, except for Nivalis. NIVALIS. It's the team that did Cloudpunk. And basically, they're taking the world of Cloudpunk and they're making it a 3D walk-around type world. The whole pixel stuff, the cyberpunkish nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's coming out next year, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I had actually sent out a tweet back when, or an X, I guess. I don't know. We'll call it a tweet. Back when Summer Games Fest had wrapped up, I sent out a tweet saying, like, why didn't we get any more Novalis? Because the last time we got any info about Novalis was last summer.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say last E3, but that wasn't it either.
I'm about to say last event.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It was last summer is when we last heard about it, and there was nothing there. And I was like, there's no Novalis. And then sure enough, there in the games baked in Germany, there was Novalis. Mm-hmm. And it was good to see. They had a lot more stuff to show off there, and I really enjoyed it. Oh, is that somebody's playing it live right now, actually? That's cool.
Like a Morbid Metal.
Yeah, there was Morbid Metal. There was Industria 2. What else did we get? Solar Punk End Zone 2, which actually has a demo that I need to pick up. Starbirds was shown off. Sticky Business is about running your own sticker factory type thing. Luz Lagoon.
Sounds like Dave the Diver or something like it.
No, maybe. Luz Lagoon is basically the delivery part of Tailspin, the cartoon.
Okay.
Down to the damn seaplane that you fly.
Oh, I see a picture of it. Yeah, it is Tailspin.
Right?
It is Tailspin.
But it's the delivery act. Like, you have to go and make deliveries on using a seaplane, and there you go.
I bet the plane has overdrive. If you have any place in there called Cape Suzette, anything that sounds like it.
It's probably something like, yeah, Cape Luzette or something, you know? It's just something very, very close to it.
I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, you go ahead. What else do we see? We Stay Behind, Commandos Origins was shown off. Ferocious, which is about dinosaurs. You're making a face. What's up?
Uncle Lou, Baloo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just seeing it.
I noticed it completely when the thing started playing. Easily. Notice that. What else did they have? Ferocious is about dinosaurs. Like, you can use the dinosaurs with you to take out enemies and things, or they attack you and you know.
Dino riding?
No.
Okay.
Just think of them more as like a pet when you're like, hey, go get that one. And they'll go and take out the guy. But at the same time, there are dinosaurs who are after you as well. I mean, it's not all easy to run like that. Tavern Talk was something which basically is like Coffee Talk, the game. It's a very narrative type, you're in a tavern,
yeah,
and you're talking to different people in that way. What else do we have?
Coffee Talk sounds like the mainstream version, and Tavern Talk sounds like the more spicy version.
Probably. Yeah. Well, because you're in, it takes place in, like, Coffee Talk takes place in Seattle,
mm-hmm,
and you talk to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Tavern Talk takes place in a tavern. So you're going to talk to maybe a knight. Maybe you talk to an ogre. Maybe you talk to, you know, different things that come into a tavern.
I was just thinking one's a coffee shop and one's a bar.
Yeah.
With liquor involved. So.
Basically.
So, yeah.
What else do we have? The Berlin Apartment. That was interesting. There's a trailer for it. I don't know about gameplay, but there is a trailer for it. And I can't even really describe it to you, but it takes place in one apartment over a vast span of time.
Hmm.
And the different people who occupy it.
Okay.
Over that span of time. What was the other one that I didn't talk about? PVKK, which has one of the longest titles I've ever seen of a game. PVKK. And I'm not going to try and pronounce the title of that game. Because it is massive. However, it kind of plays like Papers, Please a little bit, from what I understand. You operate what?
I'm looking at the name.
Yeah. Good luck.
it's like one of them cities in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I wish I could try and pronounce that. Planetin Vertidigunga Genonen Commandant? PVKK.
Commandant.
Commandant. You're a cannon pilot for an autocratic regime confined to a defense bunker. Your mission? Manually control a massive planetary defense cannon to fend off an ongoing interplanetary invasion. Master the various systems to protect your home.
Missile command.
Basically, yes. Yeah. But in a way more centralized version, I suppose. I'm not really sure what I'm trying to say.
No, you're in a missile base.
Yeah, but you've got to, like...
You shoot missiles at the things trying to kill you.
Right, but you live in this bunker. So it's like you've got to...
Missile command.
You've got to keep the machine running whenever there's problems. You need to fix it before the next strike.
Yeah.
There's some sort of supernatural element that they were showing off because you can explore the bunker at times and learn more about the mysteries and things like that. I'm not sure.
Planetary cannon commander.
Interact with a retro-tech cockpit filled with satisfying buttons, levers, dials, and switches. Manage energy generators, scan the skies for enemy vessels, analyze threats, calculate fire trajectories, and execute precise firing procedures. With limited resources and a strict regime, strategic thinking is key to your success. Between missions, maintain and improve your bunker, turning it into a comfortable and efficient retreat. Customize your space with earned resources to prepare for the next assault. Face tough choices that challenge your ethics and loyalty. Will you follow orders blindly, or will you question the regime's motives? How will you respond when someone from the outside shows you their truth? Your decisions shape the story and can lead to multiple endings in a world where everyone believes that they are doing the right thing. Your bunker hides secrets waiting to be discovered. Engage in escape room-style puzzles to uncover hidden items and clues about what is truly happening outside. The regime keeps you in the dark, feeding you half-truths and political euphemisms. Look behind these deceptions to understand the real situation and navigate the demands of the different factions in your own best interest. There you go. That's probably the highlight of the whole thing, and they did save it for last. Actually, the highlight of the whole thing was watching this dude who was hosting it make this really nice-looking sandwich. He cooked sausage in the skillet. He had some nice bread. He put cheese and mustard. No, it was just really nice.
You're cooking it when you get home,
aren't you? I mean, it looked good. It looked good. I don't know why. I'm thinking food, but yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, that was really good.
Yeah. It does look like something interesting to think about more than just shooting a cannon at things that they're trying to hurt you. But you got a story within a story.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you did. So it was good to see. What do we have? The Nintendo. You know, God, there's so much. We're probably gonna roll some of this over into the next one, the next episode. But let me hit up the Nintendo Direct while we got 9 minutes left. Which, don't worry, I can easily go through the Nintendo Direct in 9 minutes. That's not a problem. Mario and Luigi Brothership was shown off. It's a Mario and Luigi game that hasn't been around, I don't know, what, 9 years, 10 years? 10 years since we've had a Mario and Luigi game. But this one's for the Switch, and you can play in couch co-op. One of you is Luigi, one of you is Mario. It's a little fun. Nintendo World Champions Championship NES Edition. This is a... I don't want to call it a remake, but this is the type of things that would be at tournaments way back in the NES days.
Mm-hmm.
They would make these carts for these specific championships, which would have levels of a bunch of different NES games, but, you know, kind of trimmed down and modified for these championships.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get to play these, and of course they've enhanced them and they've added more and they've done more with it, but you get to play these now. You're trying to get your best time on some of them. You're just trying to get to the end of the level before the timer runs out, or whatever the case may be, a set of goals to be done within a certain amount of time in certain levels of different games. So all like NES.
Like a gaming triathlon, I guess.
Kind of, yeah. So that's what that is, but it's coming to the Nintendo Switch. Fairy Tail was a, it's, there was a lot of like Japanese games that I am not at all familiar with, nor was I really interested in them. Fairy Tail 2, Fantasian, Neo, Nintendo Switch Sports, they have basketball, sure. Mio, Memories in Orbit, M-I-O, Memories in Orbit. That mm-hmm. looks cool. It looked like a platformer type of thing that looked interesting. Disney Illusion Island, some DLC they were going to add to that. Hello Kitty Island Adventure. It's Animal Crossing, but in the world of Hello Kitty, and apparently it's already out on phones. You can play that, or it has been out on phones for a while. Mm-hmm. But now it's going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch as a timed exclusive. PlayStation and Xbox will get it later. But just think of Animal Crossing, but with Hello Kitty. So, Looney Tunes, Wacky World of Sports. It is sports games, but with Looney Tune characters. DLC for Among Us. For Magia, I believe, is another Japanese-type game I wasn't interested in, and just not my thing. Donkey Kong Country Returns HD. It is a remake of Donkey Kong Country Returns. There you go. Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake and more. The entire Dragon Quest series, 1, 2, and 3, are getting HD 2D remakes. So they're in HD. The environments look amazing. Mm-hmm. The environments are beautiful. That I'm really interested in. Oddly enough, Dragon Quest, yes. I will take 1, 2, and 3 for that. I absolutely will, and I'll be there for that. Funko Fusion, that's the Funko Pops, but in their own game, which means the licensing is ridiculous mm-hmm. because it's everything. Like, just looking at the cover, I see Five Nights at Freddy's, Jurassic Park, Invincible, Jaws. What else is that? I can't tell who that is. I see Apocalypse, so DC. I see Shaun of the Dead, but also, what's the second movie in that? Hot Fuzz. Mm-hmm. Hot Fuzz. So maybe the whole Cornetto trilogy. And then the DeLorean, of course, from Back to the Future is in there as well. So it just everything. Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, which will probably release in full price. Nintendo. Metal Slug Attack Reloaded. Darkest Dungeon 2. An update to Nintendo Switch Online, which gave us a couple of a Zelda game, a Metroid game, Turok and Perfect Dark. Phantom Brave, The Lost Hero, Marvel vs. Capcom, Fighting Collection, Arcade Classics, like 7 games. Mm-hmm. 7 games in there.
A lot of folks were hyped up about Marvel Capcom 2.
I've heard some hit back on this, right? Hmm? Some pushback on this? Did I hear something about that? For what they released?
I don't know about pushback, but all I saw initially was a bunch of folks happy about Marvel Capcom 2. But
okay.
Just on this, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is it just on Switch?
Yeah, it is a lot. Super Mario Party Jamboree, which is just looks like a massive Mario Party game. What else did we get? Lego Horizons Adventure, Stray coming there. Tales of the Shire, which is... We talked about Hello Kitty with Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. Tales of the Shire is basically Lord of the Rings, but with Animal Crossing. So basically, you're a hobbit in the Shire. You collect things, you farm, you do all that. Ace Attorney Investigations Collection, The 100 Line, Last Defense Academy. I don't know what that was. Romancing Saga. Metroid Prime 4. We got, they showed off Metroid Prime 4. Said it was coming in 2025. A lot of people feel like Metroid Prime 4 is going to be a cross-gen title. It will be released for the Switch, and it'll likely, and I'm almost willing to bet, it'll be the launch title for the Switch 2 mm-hmm. coming out next year.
That would be fitting.
Metroid Prime 4. Yeah. Also, coming up later this year, we're getting another Zelda game. September 26th, The Legend of Zelda, Echoes of Wisdom. The interesting thing on this one is, from what I understand, the first time the namesake of the game has actually been the character you play. For the longest time. Everybody talk about Legend of Zelda, and you'd always get the one person. Talking about, well, I'm gonna play Zelda and take Zelda over here when you're actually playing as Link. Mm-hmm. But this one you play as Zelda, Princess Zelda. Mm-hmm. And I love the way it looked. I loved everything about it. So I'm glad it's existing. So there's my thing. We have absolutely no more time. I want to thank everybody who's listening. First off, Dave, who's hanging out in a hotel, listening to the show. But thank you, everybody in the chat room. We got AC Wraith hanging out there. HVDES, 8 Row, Ashley Page, ASMR Mew, Donk 7, I don't know, Drapsnat, frame rates, Lethal Migraine, Mark Zink, Multile. Man, I haven't seen Multile in forever. It's so great for you to join us, man. I know you popped in from time to time, but to actually be here the entire time, it's been great, dude. Reach out, because I just haven't talked to you in a while. Patty Cat 86, 1986, Pedigree? I don't know. Regres? Radura? I don't know. I try to say your names, people, but I suck at it. But we thank you so much for being here and listening to the show. We got to go. Hope you have a great week. We'll be back next week. We'll be off the week of the 4th. But hey, thank you, Pedigree, for the chat there. Have a great one. Here is music from Agent 12. It is another ZX Spectrum game. It's the level 3 music. We'll see you next Saturday.